Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, what is a kinsman redeemer? A kinsman redeemer. The two words together are not really found in the Bible as far as kinsman and redeemer within itself. We use those terms together because really the word translated kinsman in Ruth chapter 2 verse 1 says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. That word kinsman there is from the word where we get our word kinsman redeemer. Now the word also is translated in the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25. Job was going through a lot, but he said, I know my redeemer liveth. The word redeemer there is the same Hebrew word as the word kinsman in Ruth chapter 2. They're both are a word that we refer to as kinsman redeemer. We put the two together today as far as in the New Testament time. But what is a kinsman redeemer? Well, the kinsman redeemer is a male relative who, according to various laws of the Pentateuch, the Pentateuch, of course, is the Old Testament, first five books of the Bible, we call sometimes it's referred to as the books of Moses, but they had a privilege or responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, in danger, or in need. Now, the Hebrew word or Hebrew term for kinsman redeemer designates one who delivers or rescues or redeems property or persons, as it would be noted as. So, if we think about the kinsman redeemer, I think the best example of that is the Old Testament book of Ruth, where we have Boaz, who was the kinsman redeemer for the family of Elimelech, which was Naomi was his widow. Elimelech died, and they'd sold the property before they left for the famine. Famine was in Bethlehem, and they sold the property probably to survive a little bit longer, and they wound up going to Moab. But Ruth marries one of the boys, and the boy died, and so did Elimelech die, and so Ruth is a widow, and she comes back and cleaves to Naomi and comes back into the land of Bethlehem, into the city of Bethlehem, and there she begins to glean, and her hap was to light upon the field of Boaz, which was a near kinsman, which was that word for kinsman redeemer. And so as a result of that, we need to look at that type, because the Old Testament's full of types, but they're all fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about the near kinsman or kinsman redeemer, they had a right of redeeming the inheritance of the person. As I said before, Elimelech and them had sold the property that they had. From chapter 4, Ruth, that brings that out. And he had to redeem that. But they sold the property to prolong the famine to where they could have something to eat. And then finally went to the land of Moab to where there was food there. But when Ruth came back with Naomi, and Naomi came back, they didn't have that property. It wasn't theirs. But the kinsman redeemer had a right of redeeming that inheritance or the land or the property of the person so that the land would stay in the same tribe. Go back to the book of Joshua, and you'll find that whenever Joshua divided the land between the tribes, there was a commandment to keep it within that tribe. So when someone had to give up their land or more or less sell their land for, and they probably bartered for, some food to eat and got rid of their land, then that was they couldn't go outside of that tribe. But when Ruth came back and her hap was to light upon the field of Boaz, he's a near kinsman, he's going to be the one that's going to be a kinsman redeemer to Ruth as a widow. And of course, a kinsman redeemer had a right to inherit to redeem the inheritance of a person, but he had a right of marriage, marrying a widow, and of course, and also he had a right of avenging the death of someone, which didn't apply in the case of Boaz in that sense there. But we know that right of marrying the widow, in chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 10, said, moreover, Ruth the Moabite is the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased, that's Boaz speaking, to be my wife. He's doing the part of a kinsman redeemer, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren. Now, Old Testament law said if a woman married a man and he died, then the brother was supposed to marry the brother to bring up the seed, in essence, to the name of his inheritance. But Ruth's husband didn't have a brother that was alive. So as a result, Boaz is going to play the part of the kinsman redeemer. He's going to be the kinsman redeemer, not just play the part as far as redeeming the property and redeeming, of course, the widow, marrying her and raising up seed to his brother's inheritance, so that the brother's inheritance would not be cut off. But there had to be a qualification for a kinsman redeemer they had to meet. First of all, they had to be a near kinsman. Number one, a kinsman redeemer had to be a near kinsman. And that's what a Boaz was in the case in the book of Ruth. He was a kinsman to Elimelech. And so as a result, he was a near kinsman, we could say in that sense. But he also had to be able to redeem. And the Bible says there in Ruth 2:1 that he was a man of wealth. So he had the capability of redeeming the property and to redeem and marry the widow as well. But he must be willing to redeem. Those three things had to be met. Now, in case of the type, we see that Ruth was connected to the right person. And, of course, that was Grace. And as a result of that, whenever she more or less came to the place to where Boaz said he would marry her, he'd fulfill the part of the kinsman redeemer. But he said, there's one problem. There's a near kinsman that I am, and we've got to he's got the first priority on you. Well, as far as Jesus is the near kinsman, of course, we'll talk about that more in a minute. He's the near kinsman to all of us today, and he is our kinsman redeemer. He's the only one that qualified. But in case of Boaz, he said, this other man is near kinsman than I am, and he had to go before the gate and to give him the opportunity to redeem the property. Of course, when he mentioned the property in chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, immediately the other kinsman spoke up and said, I will redeem it. But then Boaz says, but he's also got a widow, Ruth, who's a Moabite. She's a stranger. She was an outcast. And so I don't know for what reason, but that other near kinsman that was more near than Boaz said, I can't do it, for it would mar my inheritance. And so don't know exactly all that meant in that sense of why it would mar his inheritance, but he wasn't willing to redeem. He was a near kinsman. He had the funds to redeem the property, as said in chapter 4, but he wasn't willing to redeem for whatever the reason may have been. So there had to be those three qualifications met to be a near kinsman. Of course, you realize today we've got a near kinsman today, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And realizing and knowing, if we think about that, and Christ is the only one who can redeem us today. And you say, but does he meet the qualifications to redeem us? He sure does. First of all, he's our near kinsman. How's that? Well, his incarnation made him our kinsman and gave him the right to redeem. In other words, Jesus was robed in flesh through a virgin's womb. He became man. Yet he was still God, but he became man. The virgin-born Son of God was born because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he did not have Adam's blood flowing through his veins. He didn't inherit the sin nature from Adam like every other man has. And we need to be redeemed. Jesus didn't have to be redeemed because he was the sinless Son of God, had no sin within him. But his incarnation made him our kinsman. In other words, he fulfilled that requirement and gave him the right to redeem us. But also his divinity. The fact is that he was God, even though he laid aside his outward manifestation of that deity and became humbled himself even to the death of the cross. But he was still God. Now the Gnostics try to say that Jesus was not God when he was born, that when the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove, when he was baptized, as John baptized him, John the Baptist baptized him, that was when he became God. That's what the Gnostics say, but that's not so. But they also say that God left him when he went to the cross. If that be the case, you have a mere man born, and you have a mere man die. And as a result of that, you have no he does not qualify as to be our sin bearer. He doesn't qualify because it took the sinless Son of God. If he was mere man, he had the sin nature, but he wasn't. He was the Son of God. He was deity. But even though he laid aside the outward manifestation of that, He still made him, the deity made him mighty and gave him the power to redeem. You see, and the power. And of course, that what he did was he went to the cross, paid the sin debt. He became sin for us who knew no sin. So therefore, he qualifies to be our kinsman redeemer because he was kin to us in the flesh. But he also is God, and he paid our sin debt on Calvary, and that gave him the power to redeem. But also, you realize when Boaz redeemed the kinsman, as a kinsman redeemer, he was willing to redeem. The other one wasn't willing to redeem. Of course, someone says we've got someone nearer than the Lord Jesus and once in a type, and that is the law. But the law cannot redeem. The law was only given to administer condemnation and death. And therefore, Jesus fulfilled that law where he qualified to be our sin bearer. But he was willing to do it. That met the third qualification of being a kinsman redeemer. In other words, Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In other words, Jesus was willing to redeem. He didn't begrudge the price that was paid on the Calvary. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 said, "Who gave himself," talking about Christ, "who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world, according to the will of God and our Father." 1 Timothy 2:6, talking about Christ, "who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Titus chapter 2, verse 14, again, it said, "who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work." Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer, fulfilling and meeting all the requirements and the qualifications to be that perfect kinsman redeemer. He only can redeem us from our sin. First of all, the qualification had to be kin to us. His incarnation made him kin to us because he's robed in flesh. Also, we find that his deity, him being God, made him mighty and gave him the power to redeem us. So he's able to redeem us, but also he is willing to do it, and he gave himself on the cross of Calvary, lay himself down that we might have life. Thank God Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.